Take your Bible, please, this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24. And we're going to begin in verse 36 and read through verse 44. Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the opportunity to look into it again. Bless the word to our hearts now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want you to think about this question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now, that's a question that we ask people very often. Are you ready to go to church? Are you ready to go to work? Are you ready to go to school? Are you ready for the big game? And so this question is one that we ask a lot. But do we ask it when it really matters? We get ready for so many things in life, but people often overlook the biggest thing that we need to get ready for. We spend countless numbers of hours on things we think are very important, like work or school or church or life events such as weddings and parties and such. And while those things seem to be important right now, there is something else that we need to get ready for that is of much greater importance. We need to get our spiritual lives ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to earth in human form. He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And then God raised him from the dead, victorious over sin and death and the grave. And for all those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ, he is our Savior and Lord. And in Acts chapter 1, Luke tells us that just as Jesus ascended into heaven, we were promised in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, that he will return. Remember what the angel said to those who watched as Jesus ascended into the clouds. He said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So he is coming again. You see, Jesus' return will be, number one, unpredictable. Number two, unexpected. And number three, it will bring judgment. Now, let's first consider the fact that Jesus' return will be unpredictable. Look at verse 36 once again. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. It always amazes me to see people make predictions about when the world is going to end or when Jesus Christ will be coming back. And what amazes me even more is when Christians buy into those doomsday prophecies or believe these predictions about Jesus' return. People love to try and figure out these great mysteries. And every time a new prediction is proclaimed, I watch as the one proclaiming the message gets all the glory. But is Christ's return about our glory? No. It's about his glory. I also always see well-meaning Christians get wrapped up in the hoopla surrounding such a prediction. How many remember a radio preacher by the name of Harold Camping? That name ring a bell? Old Harold, he was a famous radio preacher who was known for making predictions about the time of Christ's return and then having it not happen. His last one, in which he predicted the rapture, he said that it would take place in May of 2011. Well, it didn't happen, right? So when it didn't happen in May of 2011, he announced that he had miscalculated and that it was going to happen in October of 2011. But it didn't happen then either, right? And after that, he just kind of went off into oblivion and lost most of his followers, and he actually died in 2013. After he'd done those were just two. He had done it time and time and time again, made announcements concerning the date of Christ's return. And then, of course, once again in 2012, we had another prediction about the end of time. Remember, concerning the Mayan calendar, that was a big thing in 2012. Well, guess what? That didn't happen either. That didn't happen either. And listen, I'll tell you this. If Jesus happens to return in 2019, it will not be because of the predictions of some person or some group of people. It will be because of the choosing of God himself. Notice what this scripture teaches us here in verse 36. Very simply, no one knows the day and hour. No one, absolutely no one, and trying to figure out the time is a futile attempt. Even the angels can't tell us, it says here, because they don't know. And believe it or not, and I have to admit to you, I do not understand this, but apparently Jesus Christ himself can't even tell us because he apparently somehow doesn't know. The moment he'll be coming back, he tells us here that only the Father knows. Not understand all that, but that's what it says. Only the Father knows. Which makes me laugh every time I see one of these doomsday predictions, because they are claiming to know something that even Jesus does not know. And if the angels don't know, and if Jesus doesn't know, and Scripture tells us that only God the Father knows when Jesus will return, then why do people make these predictions about it? Why do they make these claims, and why do people believe these wild claims? If we read this Scripture and remember what this scripture says, then we will not make the mistake of falling for any prediction lies. We don't know when Jesus Christ will return and rapture his church, nor do we know when the world will come to an end. His timing will be unpredictable. But one thing is certain, and it's this: he is coming again. And you better be ready before he comes. You better be ready before he comes. Now, the second thing I want you to consider this morning is not just that his coming will be unpredictable, but also Jesus' return will be unexpected. Look at verses 37 through 39 again here in Matthew 24. Look at it. It says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Not only will we not know when Jesus will return, but he will return when we least expect it. Jesus says that it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. And how does the Bible describe the days of Noah? Well, Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So in the days of Noah, evil ruled men's minds. Wickedness was widespread, and everything that man thought of was nothing but evil. And God determined to send a great flood to rid the world of wickedness. And if you remember, God commanded Noah to make this huge boat, an ark, that would have been about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, so that he and his family and many animals could be saved from God's judgment. Now, the people had to see what Noah was building. And they had to wonder why he would be making such a huge boat. And can you imagine how they might have reacted when Noah told them about the coming judgment of God? Because, you know, the earth had never been flooded before. And so people probably thought Noah was crazy. And they probably thought that surely a loving God would not bring judgment. Matthew tells us that the people were just going about their daily routines when all of a sudden that flood came and swept them all away. Verse 38 tells us the people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. What probably started off as a regular routine day turned into a day of judgment and destruction. And when Jesus Christ returns, just like that, we will not be expecting him. And we, too, will be going about our daily routines, right? We'll be going to work or going to school or checking off things on our to-do list. And when we least expect it, Jesus Christ will return. We will just be going about our daily routines when all of a sudden Christians will be caught up to heaven and the world will be turned upside down. And the question is, will you be ready? Will you be ready? And then the third thing that I want you to consider this morning is that Jesus' return will bring judgment. We call that judgment the tribulation. In verse 21 of Matthew 24, Jesus describes it this way. He says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And in verses 40 through 44, we see it in more detail. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So Scripture paints a very vivid picture about the instantaneous rapture of the church when it says two men will be working in the field, one taken, the other left, and two women will be grinding at the mill, and one taken and one left. And can you imagine the chaos that those left behind will have to deal with? People will be driving when all of a sudden cars will be without drivers, and many wrecks will be caused, and many will die without Jesus Christ. Airplanes will be flying their regular flights, and all of a sudden pilots will be raptured, and planes will fall from the sky, causing many to die without Jesus Christ. Governments will be thrown into a disarray as chaos ensues for those left behind. And can you imagine how brutal and cold the world will be once the church is raptured and God's judgment and his wrath are poured out on those who do not belong to Jesus Christ? And you know how bad it will be to be left behind? Let's look at it. Revelation chapter 6. Turn there. Keep your finger in Matthew 24. We're coming back. Revelation chapter 6. Beginning in verse 15. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15. It says, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" And so they're going to be, it's going to be so bad, they're going to be crying out for the mountains and the rocks to fall on them. Go over to chapter 9, look at verse 6. It says, "And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." You see, we are not promised tomorrow, and Jesus' return will be unexpected. And if you don't want to be left behind, then you have to get ready. You have to get ready. Back to Matthew 24. Look at verses 42 and 44 again. Verse 42, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Down to verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." We're called to be alert, to be awake, to be ready, since we don't know when Jesus is coming. And Jesus uses the analogy of a thief to describe this. Verse 43, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Jesus uses this analogy, and it's a good one. It's a good one. Because I don't know of anyone who expects a thief to come to their house. Jesus tells us that that if a homeowner was expecting a thief to break in, he would have stayed home and protected his house. When we expect something, we can make all the needed preparations so that we're not caught off guard. And like that, we must get ready, because Jesus Christ is coming back, and it could be any moment. And when he does, he will first of all take his people to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So he could come at any moment, and when he does, he will take his children to heaven. But that's not all he's going to do. He will also bring judgment upon those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. He will bring judgment on all those who have rejected him and denied his name. Now, many people ask, well, how can a loving God bring judgment on humanity? Doesn't he love us? And the answer to that question is yes, he does love you. That's what the most famous verse in the Bible is all about, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you know, that passage doesn't end there. In verses 17 and 18, it says, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then it says, He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. We must remember that God does not condemn us, but we do that ourselves when we choose to reject Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. So how can we avoid God's wrath and God's judgment? How can we be ready? Well, the Bible makes it clear. You turn from your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And then you call out to Christ for forgiveness, for eternal life. You receive him as your Savior and Lord. It's your only hope of escaping the wrath and judgment of God and gaining an entrance into heaven. It's the only way to be ready to meet him. And so if you've never done so, you need to accept Jesus Christ today as your Savior and Lord. Why? Because Jesus' return will be unpredictable, unexpected, and it will bring judgment. So I'm telling you right now, when Jesus returns, you want to be ready. You want to be ready. And so my challenge to you is this: give your heart and life to Jesus Christ today, right now, while you have the opportunity, before it's too late. And if you have already done that, if you know you're a Christian, If you know Christ as your Savior and Lord, then get busy warning others of their need to trust in Christ. Let's get busy about sharing the message of Christ with our friends and our families and our neighbors and our co-workers and our classmates and our acquaintances, so that when he does return, they too will be ready to go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And thank you for the knowledge that your Son is going to return. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room that is not ready, if anybody is trusting anything except Jesus, I pray that today they'd see this to be their greatest need, to call out to Christ and receive him as their Savior. And then, Lord, I pray for those of us who are your children, those of us who do know you as Savior and Lord. Father, I pray that you'd fill us with a great burden and a great passion to reach the lost in these last days. Help us, Lord, to do our best to share the gospel with those who are in such desperate need, so that they can be ready. Lord, I don't know anybody that I want to see miss the rapture. I don't know anybody that I want to see go into the tribulation, experience the wrath and judgment of God. Lord, help us to have a heart full of love for lost people, and help us to do our best to share the message with them so they can be ready. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.